Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Bob Port, former senior investigator at the Times Union. And Bob, we're here to discuss both Darius Shanafar's interview and also Frank Camisso Jr.'s interview. We're going to be talking about the lowering of the bond rate in the city of Albany. So, Bob, what do you think?
Well, Cynthia, I listened to both your interviews with Frank Camisso Jr. from the City Common Council and Darius Shanafar, the city treasurer in Albany, and I found it very, very interesting. As you know, I live in downtown Albany. I operate a business in downtown Albany, and this lowering of the bond rating from AAA- to A+, it doesn't really sound so bad, right? They still have an A+. But I think it's really bad, and Standard & Poor's that lowered this rating did so with a warning to the city that it is somewhat likely they will further reduce the city's bond rating. And this is like seeing your credit rating drop, and that means you're going to pay more interest on money you might borrow. And they criticize the city for not having a long-term plan to reach fiscal sustainability. This is the third time now in less than a year I've read some institution saying that the city of Albany doesn't have a long-term plan to achieve fiscal sustainability. The last time was actually an act of the legislature where the governor, with the governor's approval, Albany got $12.5 million in what's called a spin-out, which is like a reverse mortgage. We're going to take money the state owes you way out in 2030-something. We're going to give it to you now to bail you out of your current year. And they called upon the city to make a long-term plan. The controller of New York last year issued a report declaring Albany to be in fiscal distress, the only upstate city in fiscal distress, and the most fiscally distressed upstate city in New York State, which is really not a good distinction. So I listened with great interest to hear Frank Camisso and Darius Shanafar, the city treasurer, talk about these things.
So what particularly did you find interesting about? Let's start with Frank.
Well, Frank, I think Frank Camisso Jr. is great. I think people in Albany are lucky to have him on the Common Council. He clearly has a grasp of what's going on, and he clearly is dying to get more and more information about what has gone on, and he clearly would like to address these things. I think Frank, who's a politician, you have to be, is too kind. I mean, he was raised some questions about his colleagues on the Common Council not being quite up to the task of figuring out what this means. I would go further than that. I think most of them are idiots. They don't know what they're doing when it comes to fiscal policy, and they should be removed from this Common Council of Albany by the voters. And it should start with the chairman, who is also the chairwoman of the Albany County Democratic Party. And this November, we need to see some new faces on Albany City Council who understand fiscal restraint and fiscal policy and will roll up their sleeves and get down to business. Instead of spending all night debating climate change and pipelines, which they have nothing to do with, it's not that that's not an important issue. I just want representatives on my city council who understand what they're doing. Frank Camisso is someone I trust. The others, except for a handful, along with Frank, I don't trust them, and I want them out of there. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't think so, but that's what I wish for. The other thing that struck me about these interviews was Darius, our treasurer. He said he's optimistic about Albany's fiscal future. I'm not optimistic. I'm pessimistic. I'm reading these reports and I'm reading things and it doesn't look good at all. This is a city where the residents, homeowners, own 25% of the value of all property, and they're paying 60% of the tax levy, the property tax levy, which is the bulk of Albany's financing. The businesses in Albany account for only 13%, like one-eighth of all the property. They're paying 40% of the property taxes in the city. You can't run a city like that with that as your main source of revenue, which it basically is in the city of Albany, the capital of New York. It's not sustainable. So anyway, Frank Commisso, I thought, was raising the right questions. Darius Shanfar was optimistic, and he was kind of putting a happy face on his bond rating going down, and it'll probably go down again. But I don't put a happy face on that at all. I'm very upset about it.
The bond rate was lowered. How close do you think we are to becoming another Detroit?
Well, that's a very
Maybe
good question. And, you know, I don't think by any standard accounting measure, Albany is truly at the point of bankruptcy, and that's what we're talking about. Chapter 18 bankruptcy in federal court. That's what Detroit did, and that's what any municipality in the United States could do if it wished. Puerto Rico cannot. But, you know, a city can always come up with ways to squeak by and find some new sources of revenue and make its payroll and kind of move along from month to month. But what these recent reports have shown, and the Standard & Poor's review especially, is the city's depleted its reserve fund. I mean, it used to have a pretty substantial savings account or pot of money that would see it through a particularly cold winter or some emergency need. That money's all more or less been drained away. We don't even know for sure, because people like Frank Commisso on the Common Council can't really get straight answers from the administration of Darius Shanfar and Mayor Kathy Sheehan. So they've depleted their reserve fund. But cities, municipalities can always come up with ways to get more money or to borrow money to kind of squeak by. I do think a Chapter 18 bankruptcy is a fantastic idea for Albany, because it is a powerful thing. It would remove it from the politics of New York State, take it to Judge Littlefield, our local federal bankruptcy judge here, who would appoint a trustee, and the city would go into trusteeship. All collective bargaining agreements, just something we should get into, which apparently have expired in Albany, and nobody knows where that's going to go, essentially become null and void. And the federal government walks in and says, you will do this, you will do that, and we're going to make this right. I think it'd be a fantastic thing. Just talking about it is important, because it wakes people up to the reality that they may lose control over what's going on.
Now, when you said you have little or no trust in
Carol
the describe why you feel you have a lack of trust.
Well, it's from observing their behavior over the last several years. They're incompetent. They're incompetent. They're not paying attention to what's extremely important for Albany, which is to get the fiscal house in order. They should not be. They held the line this year on a property tax increase for the city's part. The school system did not, and that is significant. But they did. But what they need to do is actually cut property taxes. They need to actually cut property taxes, as does the school system, if the city's ever going to have any hope of an economic recovery. They've allowed the real estate base in Albany, the private real estate base, which is less than 40% of all the real estate, because it's state government property, it's nonprofit property like hospitals and colleges, it's a state university system. So there's this tiny little minority of the landmass of Albany that is essentially being forced to pay for all increases. We need to cut property taxes. They need to cut the payroll. They need to lay off police officers and firefighters and DJS workers. They need a hiring freeze immediately to stop this slide into insolvency. And they don't talk about that. Instead, so often at their meetings, they banned fracking in Albany, which is never going to happen because there isn't any gas under our ground. There's all this political quality to what they do. I'm not interested in that. I want some people to get this city's fiscal house in order so that it can begin to thrive economically, which it should be, like so many state capitals around the country, like Austin, Texas, like Tallahassee, Florida, which does very well, like Sacramento, California. These capital cities are not in fiscal distress. Why are we?
What do you think is going to remedy this?
Right now, Frank Commisso said something I didn't know, which I was just sort of surprised. I'm never really surprised. He explained that there are currently 10 or 11, he wasn't quite sure, labor contracts that have expired. So every single labor contract that the city of Albany had maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, it's all expired. So what that tells me is they're in a private debate with their labor unions, and I don't have the faintest idea what's going on in those debates. Let's single out the important ones, the police, Council 82. What are the police asking for? What are the police refusing to give up? The last time I read about their labor contract, all senior people hired at that point were getting fully paid health care. They don't pay one dime toward their own health care premiums. Even major state agencies, that's not the case anymore. There are PEP. Public Employee Federation employees in the state government are paying almost 20% of their own health premiums. That's kind of the standard in private industry. Why do our police get a pass on this? Are they still trying to press for that? Same thing with the firefighters. So there are major collective bargaining agreements that, frankly, are the bulk of Albany City's budget. And I don't have the faintest idea what's going on in those negotiations, because the mayor and the members of the Common Council don't tell me. Why don't they tell me? They can talk about these things if they want to.
Right, right. The mayor has been pretty silent on many issues. And, you know,
yes.
If the mayor's going to remain silent, I mean, we can't force it as far, correct?
No, we cannot.
Except on election day.
I think that's right. I mean, she's very good at talking about tulips and the tulip festival. She's very good at talking about bike paths. We're going to get all new bike paths on the Hutchin River, which I think is pretty nice the way it is right now. It always could be better. We have talk about free concerts in downtown Albany, which is good. It brings people here. But no, I don't see the mayor out there talking about these problems and confronting them directly, and I wish I did. I wish we had a mayor who was out there forcefully explaining the issues. Now, she has spoken about these things. She's trying to change the state law to create a special status for Albany as a city capital. An amendment to the 19A, the land use law, and make essentially these bailouts that have become an annual event almost in Albany standard practice. I'd love to see her debating about that and out there. But no, everything seems to have a happy face put on it, and you get a feeling if you actually live and work or own property in Albany, that we're living in the land of Oz. This is some sort of fantasy world where everyone is happy, 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 and everything will be fine. Just hang in there. Well, no, it's not. Taxes are rising. Utility rates are rising at a startling rate in Albany, partly because of property tax increases, which filter down. So, maybe it's time for a new mayor. We'll get to decide that next year.
Right, exactly. So, the mainstream press, meaning, of course, the Times Union, you don't think they cover issues as well as they should as far as, you know, the physical health of Albany?
No, I do not. And, you know, I don't speak for them. I used to work for them as a senior editor. No, I do not think the Albany Times Union is doing a good job covering the fiscal issues of the city of Albany. They should have three reporters on that subject full time. Now, maybe they feel they can't afford to do that, but I think they owe it to their readers to do it. I also think there's an inherent vested interest on the part of the Times Union in not talking about these things and not confronting them directly. And that goes to the publisher, George Hearst III, who is a major benefactor of St. Peter's Hospital, a big nonprofit that largely is not paying any tax, the College of St. Rose that mostly is not paying any tax. You know, if I could just interject this, I think what needs to happen in New York is the legislature needs to pass a law that says nonprofits pay property tax. Sorry, you don't get out of it. Maybe some percentage of property tax, maybe 60%, something like that, 50% of a normal tax bill. But you're not going to see the Times Union pursue that kind of subject because they don't want to, I guess. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're certainly not. You know, the folks there work very hard. I don't want to come across as being hypercritical. They do as much as they can do. But the city of Albany is a basket case of a city, fiscally speaking. And I just don't read enough about that in the Times Union.
Well, Bob, now that you've shaken up the administration, the county council, and the Times Union, I hope to have this discussion continue. In the final moments of the show, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, let me, you know, just say that the city does, as Mayor Sheehan has suggested, need to push the state legislature to change its land use law so that Albany is getting a bigger, a standard compensation for its status as a capital city. I think that nonprofits should be taxed. Albany Med, St. Peter's Hospital, Albany Memorial, College of St. Rose, Maria College, tax them all. We, because Albany is a state capital, it's home to all sorts of think tanks and what are frankly advocacy groups that operate as nonprofits. They should all be taxed, property tax as well. Tax everybody and distribute the burden. So the state should increase its funding. We should tax nonprofits. All of the collective bargaining agreements in the city should require public employees to pay a share of their health care costs. So we get that bill down. We should repeal the trash fees that were enacted. That's a stupid way to raise money. It hurts the wrong people. We should repeal the poll tax, P-O-L-E, on electric utility poles in Albany that was enacted this year, so our electric bills would start going down. And I hope this November the voters in Albany should just remove essentially all the members of the Common Council who are not paying attention to these things, replace them with people who will do better. I think the our state senator, Neil Breslin, our two assembly members, Pat Fahey and John McDonald, need to get off their duffs and get out there into the legislature and use whatever power they can muster to enact state laws that I've mentioned. And I think the governor should just force Albany to do all of these sorts of things. And if he won't do it, the city should really seriously consider filing a Chapter 18 bankruptcy in federal court, which will just force the state of New York, the legislature, the labor unions, everybody, to start to get down to business and fix the fiscal house of Albany. That's frankly the trump card in all this. So I think the city should not, as it has been doing, be increasing fees for building permits and so forth. They should actually probably eliminate all fees for building permits and create a welcoming environment for businesses that want to come here or renovate or grow. I think they should stop handing out tax breaks to new businesses, and I think they should begin foreclosure proceedings on the multitude of commercial properties that are delinquent on their property taxes to force the owners of those buildings to get off their duffs and get things back in business. So there's quite a laundry list of ideas. And I have to say, I don't think any of it's going to really happen. But at some point, there's going to be a tipping point. And I don't know where that is. It may be a few years away. And voters are going to really begin to revolt or leave, which is a lot of what's happening. People are just leaving, abandoning Albany.
Bob, because your assessment is like really brave, and I'm going to put it out on social media like I do with everything else, and let's see if anybody wants to respond. I invite the mayor to come on the show. I invite Gary Shenford to come back, or any of the Common Council members to come back and share their thoughts about what you have said. So if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, and if you have a comment about the show, and I hope many people do, because you have opened the dialogue, and I think it's important, please hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Bob, thank you so much for an enlightening discussion this morning. Have a good day.
Sure.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Cynthia.